Hello and welcome to another episode of Steelers Today on DK Pittsburgh Sports. Joined by Dale Lawley, I'm Dan Kovacevic, and we're at Heinz Field.
We are.
Why?
Well, we're outside of Heinz Field.
We're outside of Heinz Field. Why are we here?
I don't know
why this isn't being held in La Trobe, but that's another discussion for another day. Dale, today, there's still not a whole lot going on here. Let's be honest.
It's still carryover of OTAs. Tomorrow, I promise you, we can actually talk about some things that happened in the stadium. This is, OTA practice about 22 at this point. Football in shorts.
And the reason we'll be able to talk about things tomorrow is that there will be fans here, which is a good thing. That's when you start heading towards some semblance of normalcy here. Fans who have tickets will be allowed to come into Heinz Field. And as a result, since they're seeing everything that's happening, we'll also be able
to report what we see.
In the short term, however, today was tight ends day. They brought the tight ends over to be interviewed by us. Eric Ebron and Pat Freiermuth came over one at a time. Ebron talked about, and let's have right at this one, Dale, about how he is rededicated. He is recommitted to run blocking. I'm buying. How about you?
Yeah, we're going to decrease the federal deficit as well. Those will both happen here in the next year. Ebron's not a blocker. Don't ask him to block. He's a big receiver. That's what he is.
Yes, and always has been.
Is he a weapon? Absolutely. Can he help this team? Absolutely. But don't ask him to block Chase Young at the goal line, when you're on fourth and goal. It's just not going to happen.
No. Although, here's what he had to say about that.
Absolutely. I feel like that was something that we were all terrible at last year. As you saw, a lull in the running game, period. As a complete unit, offensive line and tight end, I feel like we all should do better, including myself. And, yeah, if you want to get paid and you want to perform and you want to be amongst the best, you got to be able to block. So, yeah, that's a pivotal part of our focus this year.
Now, I asked Ebron, I was trying to find a way to word this. Are you serious? You're going to block?
Derek, how important is it to all of the tight ends, everybody in the room, to pick up the blocking to get the running game? And why should everyone expect that it will happen?
Well, you know who our first round pick was?
I heard.
Yeah, we don't draft first round picks for us to not block.
I heard the second rounder was too.
What's that?
A good blocker? Tight end too, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's going to continue to get better. At this level, blocking at the college level is not the same. So definitely, he's definitely going to continue to get better and grow.
Dale, I know it's football in shorts, and I know we haven't seen anything really other than catches. And what have you seen in Freiermuth specifically? I don't mean to pound on Ebron here, because this is a guy who in the red zone is a really, really good NFL tight end. No knock, and we saw that last year. But you got to be complete.
You do, and especially if you're going to play for this team, they want their tight ends to be multifaceted guys. And one of your tight ends better be able to block, in addition to being a receiving threat. That's why we talked to Kevin Colbert this morning, and he said, the thing that Mike Tomlin says every time he sees Pat Freiermuth catch a ball, can you block?
Can you block? So which is really annoying, but also very Tomlin-like.
Just keep driving that point home. Hey, that's great, but you better be able to block if you want to get on the football field.
Yeah, and here's some of what Freiermuth had to say about the emphasis on blocking.
Yeah, I mean, I was drafted because I could do both things. Obviously it's kind of hard to show that you can block with helmets on. So my job is to make catches, and my job is to, block the ends and block linebackers, and I know that. So, I've had a good first couple days of camp, but I know the real work starts tomorrow when the pads go on, and I got to prove that I can go out there and block the ends.
Last thing on tight ends. We saw, and since it was discussed, we can report it, Zach Gentry make a really nice catch. You look totally nonplussed by this. You don't like Zach Gentry.
He's a guy.
All right. This is the insight that you want on these shows,
He's bulked up a little bit. He's not the skinny former college quarterback that he was when he got here 3 years ago. It's been 3 years now. This is his third year.
It's third year of the coach hovering over Gentry of the sleds. I know you've seen it a million times. I'm going to relay it to people. Tomlin will hover over Zach Gentry and expect him to murder this sled, and it never happens.
Doesn't
like
happen.
He's going to be waiting forever.
You know, so that's the big thing there. You know, until they start doing that, and they haven't even done that yet because they're not in pads. Mm-hmm. You know, the pads will come on tomorrow. We'll see. Tomlin always walks over to watch the tight ends block.
Always.
It's a big part of what they do. We'll see. They got a new position coach there in Alfredo Roberts. You know, it's been James Daniels forever. We'll see if you know, bringing in a new guy can light the fire under some of these guys.
They've got a new nickname, as they were all talking about here. They're now being called, at least by themselves, the Badasses.
You can't give yourself a nickname.
You know what? That's
work.
So true. Like, in life?
Yeah.
You know, like if you're in high school and you give yourself a nickname...
You can't just suddenly say, hey, call me the Terminator. No, that doesn't work.
Well,
you can't do that.
On behalf of the Terminator and me, we'll be right back after this quick message. Welcome back to Steelers Today. He's Dale Lawley. I'm Dan Kovacevic. And earlier this morning, Kevin Colbert spoke for the first time in training camp. Kevin Colbert speaking is a rare and semi-delightful treat.
This will be the last time that we hear from Kevin Colbert until next year's draft time.
He does some one-on-ones later along in camp. Once the season starts, he shuts out. That's just a general
policy. Now, he might do some radio stuff here and there. Usually right around this time, because once he talks, he shuts it down.
Well, what was your biggest...
It's all Mike Tomlin after
since
that.
This was so precious, what was your biggest takeaway from this?
That, you know, they were... I'm not going to say shocked, but mildly surprised at David DeCastro's, you know, situation. But they also used it as a springboard. If David DeCastro doesn't come in with the bum ankle... Okay, yeah, they weren't going to sign Trey Turner. But they wouldn't have gotten Melvin Ingram.
Right.
And so that allowed them to make some moves that they, you know, weren't necessarily, you know, ready to make, they would have had to make some other moves to be able to make, because that cleared up salary cap space. They put them at $13 million.
Yeah. And the idea of not having, well, or having a third edge rusher that was going to be Cassius Marsh or, you know, yeah, I'm all due respect, maybe someday. You know, they'll be looking at Quincy Roche or someone like that. But that's not in play for a year when you need to be contending right away. And with all the heavy rotation, I don't think people realize how much the Steelers' outside linebackers, their edge rushers, go on and off the field.
It's a tough job because you're chasing a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, you get Lamar Jackson on the edge and you got to run
him
down from behind. You're tapping out after that. So you see that a lot. It gives them that rotational guy who – is not just a rotational guy. We're not talking about Anthony Ciccolo here. We're talking about a guy...
I was about to drop a Ciccolo bomb here, and the Terminator here beat me to it.
We're talking about a guy who has played at a Pro Bowl level. Uh-huh. Now, he hasn't in a couple of years. We'll see if he still has anything left in the tank. But I think if you're playing him 15 to 20 snaps per game, which is what that third outside linebacker typically mm-hmm. plays, okay, now you got something.
Yeah,
he's
going to
win some of those battles. He's a dangerous guy. I guarantee you... that the other teams in the division didn't look at that and go, oh, man, forget that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is a guy with a pedigree.
No, he's a player. He's a player. Swinging back to DeCastro and Colbert's comments about him, he made a reference to retirement.
Yeah, when David showed up, you know, he had an ankle problem that was bothering. We had it looked at. You know, we decided that we were going to move on, and it takes nothing away from what David did for us in his time here. But, you know, his availability was something that we couldn't determine at that point. And, you know, we decided we had to move on. And, you know, David's will do what he needs to do. And whether he continues to play, that'll be his decision. But
I think it was a slip of the tongue.
I think so, too. Because
earlier it said, you know, we'll see where David
Dave hasn't decided. Dave just flat out hasn't decided. And we're not guessing at that. We know that. Dave hasn't decided. And you know what? Not that David DeCastro is the guy that you leave and you start worrying about mending the fences the way you did with Troy Polamalu and so forth, but you'd like that to be something that you can work out.
Well, you know, I think at this point, and I looked it up, David DeCastro made $57 million.
Yeah, he was compensated for his efforts.
He'll be okay if he doesn't play football again. And he's a smart guy. He's got the degree from Stanford. If he wants to move on to his next thing, that's great. I think that's where they feel like he's probably what he's leaning towards. Maybe, again, that was a slip of the tongue. Maybe it was a Freudian slip of the tongue. But, yeah, I just, Kevin was very complimentary. We appreciated everything that David did for us over the years. It was just we had to make a business
decision.
It's a business decision.
And it turns
out
it
was going to happen for 2 months.
Yeah, it was a good call. It was actually kind of a no-brainer in that context. One last thing before we leave you today. Ben Roethlisberger didn't participate.
He wasn't here.
Yeah. And the reason for that, according to Mike Tomlin, was that it was something that was personal-based. Don't read anything into it. The Steelers had a day off yesterday. They had a practice today. They have one in front of people tomorrow. If you can get a guy like Ben a couple days off in a row this time of year with bonus training camp time, remember, this is all bonus round stuff, you take it every time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen a bunch of guys kind of take that route. We still haven't seen Zach Banner since day one.
He's pushing something. He was out there.
He's working on the cart. Stephon, too, it's another one that's working on his.
Stephon was on the sideline. Chooks has been doing other things. Not that there's anything wrong with Chooks, but they're just
easing them into it. They've got a bunch of young guys there. They want to get a good look at a lot of those young players.
Yeah.
Because that's where the true battle is going to be. Who are those eighth, ninth, tenth offensive linemen?
Right. They know who the five are for the most part, at least the six, let's put it that way. The Hall of Fame game and other things are going to separate. Anyway, no big deal. Ben not here. Ben will be back tomorrow by all accounts.